You know, we saw in the last time that we got together in the book of Revelation, we saw the great white throne judgment. The dead, small and great. We've seen a lot of things go on through the book of Revelation. I can't right now recap the whole thing for you. It's just too long. It's just too much. But we've seen a lot of things. Someone told me today, we've been doing this since October. Now, if you're listening by tape, you think, well, so what? But if you're listening by seat, we're talking about 7 months. And I know you're tired of it. And we're almost done. And I've gone kind of slow. Except for those of you who said I went too fast. Hoping that you and I could learn. And there are so many things we still don't have a grasp of and won't until we get there. It'll make sense then. Just as the Old Testament prophets couldn't figure out how in the world can someone die and still sit on the throne and rule and reign forever and ever. The Old Testament prophets couldn't understand it. They just knew they should write it down. It didn't make sense, but it makes perfect sense to us. Because we can look back and it's perfectly clear. We covered in the book of Daniel, in the Bible college, we're going through Daniel. And we were talking about this last week, near the beginning of... I'm sorry, not Daniel. What class are we doing? Matthew. You wait till you get to be my age, man. I'm 1 year older than Earl. 28. We're going through Matthew. Daniel was good, though. We just finished Daniel. We started Matthew. And the Old Testament prophets must have struggled with the fact that he would be born in Bethlehem, yet he would be called out of Egypt. Not only would he be born in Bethlehem and called out of Egypt, but he would be called a Nazarene. And even if he was born in Bethlehem, there would be weeping in Ramah, or Ramah, which is north of Bethlehem, about 12 miles. Not even close. And those Old Testament prophets must have thought, how in the world could he be born here and be called a Nazarene? Be born here and be called out of Egypt. How do you get him to Egypt to call him out of there? We all know. Because it's perfectly clear to us now. You say, this book of Revelation, I'm not sure I understand much of it. Wait. And when you're raptured, you're going to look back and go, oh, makes perfect sense now. Don't let it bug you. Revelation 21. After all those judgments are completed, and of course the devil is thrown into the lake of fire, we see this. And I saw a new heaven, verse 1 of chapter 21, and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. They were gone. And there was no more sea. All right, what we're going to see now in the book of Revelation 21, chapter 21, we're going to see eternity beginning. Eternity, we're going to look at it. We're going to watch eternity begin for us. A new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, a whole new era. But first, heaven and earth pass away. Or let me put it another way. The first heaven and the first earth pass away. They're gone. 2 Peter 3. I'm sure you probably thought of that instantly. 2 Peter 3. I'm going to start in verse 11, read through verse 13. 2 Peter 3. 11 through 13. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. All what things? This whole earth, the things you're sitting on, the things you drive in, the things you want to buy, the things you want to hook on to, the things you want to listen to in your headphones, they're all going to dissolve. He says, seeing that all these things are going to be dissolved or shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy lifestyle and godliness? Knowing that this stuff doesn't count, how should we live then, he says. Looking for and hasting unto, or hurrying up toward, the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. This is not going to last. When we were young in the Lord, a long time ago, 25 years ago, we would say this to one another. And of course, we didn't know a thing, and we were still half of 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in heaven, trying to stand on the canoe and on the shore, and we were soaking wet most of the time. But we would look at each other, and my guitar was very expensive, and I'd get a scratch in it. And you're on the road, and how do you avoid the... And the guys, the Christians would look at you and say, "Don't worry, it's all going to burn." Remember that? I remember Pastor Chuck Smith talking about having a nice car, and he went inside a grocery store. When he came out, somebody had hit it with their door and put a scratch in this paint. And it was his son. When Pastor Chuck said, "Oh, look at what some idiot did," his son goes, "Don't worry, Dad, it's all going to burn." You know, you just, sometimes you don't feel like hearing that, but that's the truth. It's all going to burn. Some of you are holding on tightly. Going to hurt your hands. Watch. You know, Matthew, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, here's something that's a promise. Claim this promise. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." You know, everything that you know is going to be gone except God's word. That I can't wait. Can you? You'll see what I mean as we get into this. Isaiah. If you're writing these down, I hope I'm not going too fast. Isaiah 65, verse 17. "For behold," God speaking, "for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth." Listen closely, everyone. This should answer a lot of questions. Ready for this? "Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered nor come to mind." You hear that? Are we going to look back and are we going to miss our home in Arizona? No. There'll be a nicer place in Arizona, although I can't even imagine it. I'll have to see it. Well, will we miss all the times we had when we were in high school? And will we be missing that? No, you know, the former things will not be remembered, nor come into your mind ever again. You're not going to remember when that kid spit at you. You're not going to remember how those people hurt you and cheated you and how your business was ruined because you were trying to do it God's way and they laughed and took advantage of you. You're not going to remember. You're not going to worry about it. Why? Because that's all old stuff. That stuff burned up, it's gone. No, that's not a problem. You're going to even be friends with each other. I can't wait. Because more and more people come up and say, "Well, that's my ex." Your ex what? You'll be friends there. There won't be any fighting there. Every day will be Sunday there. Almost. But here's something else that I don't know. I try not to visualize, but I was trying to get a picture of this. And again, the way I describe it is Arizona. See, the verse says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Why? Well, the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. We've been shown they melted with a fervent heat. They're gone. They dissolved. But then the rest of the verse says there was no more sea, S-E-A. In other words, the oceans were gone. Now see, when you're an Arizona critter, yeah, makes perfect sense. But I don't know, man, if you grew up in San Diego, that'd be a tough one, I would think. No more sea. Well, in theory, now this is just in theory, that would automatically change a lot of things, wouldn't it? For instance, climate. I mean, wouldn't you think? Change climate. It's the atmosphere. It's going to be different somehow. It's going to change the course of just about everything else. Living conditions are going to be really different on the new heaven, the new earth. You know, right now, approximately 3/4 of the Earth's surface is covered with water. About 3/4 of the world right now that you live on is covered with water. You can't do anything with it. Well, float in it, swim in it, drink some of it, but 3/4 of the Earth. Now, can you imagine if God makes the Earth, oh, let's say, the same size as it is now, but with no oceans on it? I'm telling you right now, it'd be easy to find a parking spot. Easy. You wouldn't need all these special little, you know, pregnant mothers, people with dogs, people who don't like others. You know, I mean, you won't need all that. Can you imagine? A lot of picnic area. Plenty of room for lots of people. Because there are well over 6.5 billion now, and there's still plenty of room. Imagine if you make it the same size and there are no oceans. My goodness. Well, John says, I, John, saw the holy city. So he's reminding us he's still there, and he's actually seeing this. He's an eyewitness. I saw the holy city called New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, this is where we run ourselves into troubles. I've heard some studies on this, and people try to prove, a few verses later, you'll see it, they try to prove that this is not a city, but this is actually the church. I don't think so, but let's just go through and see what it says. Let's just see what it says. He says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Okay, that's where the bride of Christ is. That's where the body of Jesus Christ is. That's where the church will live forever. Where? In that new city. The new city comes down from God. Isn't that what the Bible says? It says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. A city is going to literally float down out of the new heaven, and it'll be prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It doesn't mean that it is the bride. It'll be decorated and beautiful like a bride. Now, those of you that have been to weddings, you notice that nobody pays much attention to the groom. Who cares? Him and the pastor walk in, nobody notices they're there. But when the bride comes in, everybody stands up. And they look. And you know, I've heard this said over and over, but I'm afraid to say it's true. I don't think you ever have seen an ugly bride, have you? God does something. I mean, I've seen some prior, and I've seen some after the fact. But for some reason, something happens. And that's true. And so this city is going to be beautiful. And he's going to describe it to us in a little while. Now, I'll probably get in trouble for that on tape, won't I? Oh, Lord. Coming down out of heaven. The city coming down out of heaven. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, in the night that Jesus was betrayed. He said this, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. He said, let not your heart be troubled. And that literally means, don't let your heart continue to be troubled. I can see your heart is troubled now. Don't let that happen. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, or since I'm going and preparing a place for you, I will come again. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I think that Jesus himself is building this city, preparing this new Jerusalem. And when after the 1,000 years and the earth, it's a new heaven, new earth, you're going to see this city beautifully adorned. We're going to get a description of it coming up soon. And that is where you, the church, Only Christians, only those who are a part of the body of Christ, that's where you will dwell for eternity. You're going to live here. So you might want to get an idea of the decorations in case you want to get curtains or something. You ought to know. I mean, he's giving you a description of your home forever. It doesn't look much like what you're living in now. And we read this. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, verse 3, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God is going to live with his people. You know, that was his plan since the beginning, to create someone in his image. Let us make man, God said, in our image. Why? So that we can fellowship together, so that someone who is a created being that God created would love him freely. No strings attached. God would have fellowship with his creation. You would bring glory to God and fellowship with God forever and ever. That's why he made you. So that you and I could spend all forever and ever with him. Never to be separated, just to spend time with God. That's what he wanted. Of course, Satan thought he wrecked that up, didn't he? And Adam and Eve ate themselves out of house and home a long time ago. But God made a way for you and I could come back into his presence and dwell with him forever and ever. Jesus Christ shed his blood and died on the cross for our sins. Jesus is God in human flesh. He is still God. Has always been, always will be. God's going to dwell with his people. You're going to see, let me read verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are gone. They're passed away. God's going to wipe away every tear, finally. Gone. There's going to be no more death, ever, again, for all of eternity. No more crying there. There will be no more sorrow at all. There will be no more pain. So, one thing I know about the new earth, you won't have hospitals. Won't need them. Not going to need doctors. Won't need lawyers. Might not need Indian chiefs. I'm not sure about that. Think about that. That's what's coming. Verse 5 says, and he that sat upon the throne said this, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He's going to make all things new. You know, have you ever thought in your life that you'd ever like to just start all over again? What God is saying is that's exactly what's going to happen. We're literally going to start all over again, walking with him the whole way. You won't sin. The sin question has been taken care of. There will be no more sin. You won't be tempted. There will be no tempter. He's gone forever and ever in the lake of fire. Smoking. So you don't need to worry about, what if I do something stupid up there? No, it won't happen. You won't be anything like you are now. Should I say, I won't be anything like I am now? You feel better? Starting over. You know, these words, God says, are true and faithful. That means I can believe what he is saying right here in chapter 21. I can believe it. I don't have to doubt it. The skeptics go through and say, well, that can't be possible. Well, the earth is going to go away. And it took billions upon billions of years. And so, yeah, and then God's going to do it. And after 1,000 years, old earth gone, brand new. Yeah, right. No, I don't believe I was going to. Think what you want. I don't have to be a rocket scientist. And I'm not built to be one, and I can't. I don't have the ability, but I am so simple. I can believe what God says. He has given me a gift of stupidity so that I can believe what He says. And He says, what I'm telling you here, Bob, it is faithful and it is true. You can bank on this. If there's anything you've ever counted on, you can count on this. It's faithful and true. You can believe what He says. And He said unto me, verse 6, it is done. The entire plan of God. It's done. We're entering into eternity forever now. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega. Those are Greek letters, the first and the last letter of their alphabet. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Nothing before Him, nothing after Him, because He has no beginning, He has no end. He's it. I will give unto him that is thirsty, I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely. You want Jesus Christ? You really want to live forever and ever with the Lord? Could you turn that maybe down? You can't do it? Okay. Never mind. Is it coming in through good on the video? Okay, that's fine. I can live with it. You can cut that part out. First and last letter of the Greek alphabet, the beginning and the end. Jesus Christ Himself is saying that. How do I know? Why do I say that's Jesus? Because when we go to chapter 1, that's what He says about Himself when He saw Jesus. He's the first and the last. We saw Him in chapter 1. Jesus Christ saying it. He's saying, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto this him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes. Remember, everybody, what is an overcomer? Someone who has truly been born again. The only way I can be an overcomer is to be born again from above, to ask Jesus Christ into my life. I hope you have done that. Because the truth is, I don't see much more time coming. I think you're seeing that it's all being put together for the end scenario. I think you're seeing that Israel and Palestine are going to build and build until someone comes along and helps them lock in that agreement. 7 years of peace. It's coming. That will be the Antichrist who will confirm the covenant with them for 7 years. And real trouble is coming. You've seen what the trouble will be like. Even though we can't imagine it, we've read through it together. Trouble is coming. It's not going to get any better from here. If you think it's hard to have a job now, it will be more difficult. If you think that the persecution of the church is tough now, it will get much worse than this. There is good news in all this, though. You can have life. You can have peace. You can know where you're going when you leave here. When you leave this body. You can know that. I remember being a young man, way back, a long time ago, and some Christian men talking to me. We were in the military. And the guy asked me, he said, do you know where you're going when you die? And I remember saying, if nobody knows where they're going when they die, we all got this hope. I hope my good outweighs my bad. He goes, no, it won't work. You can know where you're going. And I kept thinking, nobody can know that. The truth is, the Bible says you can know. You can know now. You can be sure now. You can't be sure if you are playing with it. You can't be sure if you are saying, I don't know if I want to follow God in this area. You can't be sure. And at that point, there must be questions. Because a true servant who loves his master doesn't worry about what his master wants him to do next. What do you want me to do now? God says this. I do it. If I don't do it, I confess to him. That's what a true servant does. Now, we are not perfect. We have feet of clay, all of us, and we need to confess. But there's something which is called the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, who takes up residence in your life. And the Spirit of God will put a desire in your heart to do the right thing. Even when you think, I don't want to. Man, that guy cheated me. I'm going to cheat him. Yet the Spirit of God is there. Once you come to life, once you're born again, the Spirit is saying, no, don't go that way. But I feel like it. That's all right. Let's not act on how we feel. Let's see what God says and let's do it. And see, Jesus says, he that overcomes shall inherit all things. And all in the Greek means all. See how easy this has become? And I will be his God and he shall be my son. Can you imagine being called a child of God for eternity? Not just right now with everybody else looking at you, but for eternity to be called one of God's children. But the fearful, verse 8 says, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, the liars, all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Once again, no more suffering, no more pain, no more crying, no more of the ugliness, yet right in the midst of talking about eternity, hell is mentioned. The lake of fire, which tells you God really believes there's a hell. He brings it up again. Who will be in hell? Well, I'll read it to you again. Fearful. Boy, I've heard some studies on this that scared me to death. When I was a young Christian, pastor got up and said, you know who's going to be in hell? Those that are afraid. And right away I thought, I'm scared. I mean, I'm going to be in hell. And he didn't stop. He goes, not only those are afraid, but those are abominable. That's me. Those are murderers. Oh, man, I just got through thinking I wish that guy had an accident. Those are whoremongers. Those are sorcerers. Those that are idolaters. Those that are liars. I know I've hit you. You're just not admitting it. We're all listed here, aren't we? Yeah. They shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What's he talking about, everybody? Those who carry their sins with them. Those who carry their sins. In other words, those who did not believe. Are you carrying your sins with you? Either your sins are on you right now, or your sins have been placed on Jesus. Where are they? Have you humbly said, Jesus, come into my heart, wash me clean, take my life? Have you accepted the gift that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, said, here's a free gift? Have you accepted Jesus? If you have not, then you're still in the category of unbelief. If you're in the category of unbelief, you cannot enter into eternity with God. You have to go to the place of suffering. But don't whine when you get there. Because once again, you've been given another chance. And all it takes, you don't have to get up and flip in the air. You know, when they raised the brass serpent up in the wilderness, it was because these poisonous snakes had gotten into camp and started biting people. And because of their own sin, remember. And they cried out, Moses, we're in trouble. People are starting to die. We're these poisonous snakes. What do we do? Moses cries out to God, what do we do? God says, make a brass serpent. Don't have time. Yeah, go ahead and make a brass serpent. Put it on a pole and lift it up in the air. Oh, that'll help. You know, you ever watch how God tells you to do something, first thing you think is, that is so stupid. Go dip 7 times in the water. 7 times in the Jordan River. That'll help. Why don't you quit trying to figure it out? He's not asking you to be stupid. Make a brass serpent, put it on a pole, and lift it in the air. Well, then what do? Cry out to the entire nation. If you want the poison to not harm you, look at the snake. You don't have to crawl over and lick it. You don't have to crawl over and tag it, and the first one that gets it wins. You don't have to flip over or roll over and get within 3 feet of it. All you have to do is turn your head and look. What do some of the people say? I'm not looking, man. I'm in pain. I'm dying from this snake bite, man. Just turn your head and look at the snake. All you got to do is look. I'm not. That's stupid. I want a psychiatrist. I need someone to talk to me. I want to go do some rebirthing. You don't have to touch it even. If you could look at it from a distance, you will be completely healed. And Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that's the ninth chapter, Jesus said, as the serpent was raised up in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be raised up. What did he just tell you? You don't have to run over there and touch Jesus right on the cross. You guys, we all missed it. All you got to do is look to Jesus. Jesus was the type, you see, the serpent was made in the image of the problem. The snakes came in, they were the problem. So the serpent was made in that image. Jesus became flesh, made flesh like mankind. But there was no sin in him. And if you look to him, your sins are washed away. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But if you don't, your sins are on you. You will find yourself at the great white throne judgment. And you will not find your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you will go to the lake of fire. And so that's why it's brought up here. Right in the middle of this beautiful picture, we have the lake of fire. Now, starting in verse 9, we're going to get a description of the city. I do not believe it is the church. I believe it is where the church lives. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And he talked with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Because of that, people say, well, the city, we are living stones. We are really the tabernacle. We're the temple. No, you're missing the point. This is a new Jerusalem that's coming down out of heaven. This is where the church will live. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So we have the city coming out of heaven, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. What you've got here, it looks like, is a stone or a sphere that is crystal clear, made of jasper stone. You and I would say more like a diamond in the translation, a crystal clear stone, which is a sphere, and the city is inside it. So it was kind of like looking at a planet. You've got the roundness, but as you get into the planet, you see different shapes and things. So you've got this, this thing had the glory of God. What is the glory of God? Go to the Old Testament, you see the Shekinah glory. What was it? God's presence. It was brightness. It was light, wasn't it? You'll see that in a moment. It had a wall inside the city, or around the city, a great high wall and 12 gates, which ruins all those St. Peter jokes, doesn't it? And at the gates, 12 angels, and no St. Peter. And names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Okay. You got a description of the city now. The city is literally the glory of God. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. In the west, 3 gates. So you got 12 gates, 3 on each side of the city. And they have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel on the gates. Okay, now you're getting a description of your future home. Pay close attention. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them, in the foundations, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Big fight. I'll let you in on a big fight. Is it going to be Matthias or Paul? And the fight rages. Well, we show up, we'll just read on the foundations and see. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. Okay. Verse 16 says, the city lieth foursquare. So inside this sphere, you've got the city itself, and it lieth foursquare. And the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height are equal. Therefore, some say it's a cube, which makes more sense. Every once in a while, some will say it's a pyramid. Probably it looks like a cube. And if that's the case, it is 1,500 miles on each side. 1,500 miles north, south, east, and west. That's large. A mathematician, I got some mathematician figures because I am not a mathematician. Let's see. To enclose a cube measuring 1,500 miles on each side, when you enclose it, the circumference, okay, all the way around it, would be, you with me, 8,164 miles. All the way around. That would make the diameter of the city. That's if you cut across the middle, just from one side to the other, like the diameter of the earth or the moon. Okay, that would make the diameter of the city 2,600 miles. Now the moon that we stare at is 2,160 miles in diameter. So this city is basically a little larger than the moon. Now, that's a big city. That's just a city, New Jerusalem. Okay. He measured the wall thereof, verse 17. 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is of the angel. So the wall now, he measured 144 cubits. Now, you know, when you think about this, well, let me read 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, likened to clear glass. You're going to notice something about the city. Everything is see-through. And that's important to take note of. Everything is see-through. It's kind of like being in the ministry. You like live in a fishbowl. Everything in this city is see-through. Well, the measurement of the wall. First of all, walls of a city are usually for protection. Isn't true? That's why you build walls around cities down here. So the idea is, not that that city needs protection, but the idea is that that city is completely safe and is protected by God himself. That's the idea of a wall. You're going to notice that there are 12 gates and the gates never close. So there's no need to defend anything. Just, I think that one of the reasons God put a wall was to show that he is our defense. He is our safety. He is the Lord God. Well, the walls, 144 cubits, in our language would be about 215 feet high. Now you got to get a picture of that in your head. 215 feet high. All the way around this city. Now, let me read to you what it sort of looked like. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished, verse 19, with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, fifth sardonyx, sixth sardius, seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And let me do this real quick. I just kind of looked those up. Jasper is clear, like a pure diamond would be clear. Sapphire, in the case that, of the language that they're talking about, the stone here is a bright blue. Chalcedony, its color is greenish, almost like a real bright jade. Emerald is bright green. Sardonyx color would be a bright red. Sardius would be a more fiery red. Chrysolite is a golden yellow. Beryl is a, you would call it a turquoise. Some might say sea green. Topaz would be greenish yellow. Chrysoprasus is a golden green. That's interesting. Jacinth is a bright violet. And amethyst is a very bright purple. Now, can you imagine all those stones as the light, which is God, shines through? Can you imagine how colorful a universe is going to be? Can you imagine the beauty of that city? Because the light is shining through everything. The light is God, and he's going to shine through. It's like a precious, well, pearl. You're going to see some pearls in a moment. Can you imagine the beauty? No, we can't. You know what happens when light goes through a prism. It refracts and you start seeing different colors. I think probably we're going to see colors we've never seen before all throughout the universe. It's not going to be all black out there like it is now. It is going to be brightly colored. for the glory of God. That ought to be cool. In the 12 gates, as you think of the pure light of God shining through these walls, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Now, that's a huge pearl. Man, that was a problem for an oyster, wouldn't it? Every gate was of one pearl. Each gate was a huge pearl. They're called the pearly gates. That's why it's plural, right? And the street of the city was pure gold. As it were, though, transparent gold. In other words, it's gold, yet you could see through the gold. And here's, that's what amazes me. You saw how huge the city was, a little bigger than the moon in diameter. And I looked this up, and this is not wrong. The language is correct. It only has one street. Did you see that in your Bible? That is not a misunderstanding. It is singular. And the street of the city is pure gold. It must be one long street. Winds around only one way. I can see angels now trying to get traffic. You can only come in there. I don't know, man. That part I don't understand. I got to see that. But it says the street, singular, of the city was pure gold. As it were, transparent glass. So even the street you walk on is the street of gold. As God, His glory shines, He shines through. Now remember, this city, as you have probably forgotten, came down out of heaven but doesn't come to earth. This city sort of hangs out there. Can you imagine what that must look like from being on earth? That's where you're going to live if you're a part of the church, in this new city. It'll be bright there. And then he says something that you expected. Now, by the way, let me just reiterate this. I don't want to miss this point. Keep in mind that the description we're given here, nothing in that city, to include me and you, Christians, nothing in the city hinders the light of God. Notice that? Isn't that something? Nothing in this city hinders the glory of God. The glory of God shines out throughout all the universe. And so you think about us as we walk today. We are to reflect the light of God. We are to let our light, this little light of mine, we're to let it shine for God's glory so that nothing hinders God's glory so that others can see Jesus. Isn't that something? Well, he says in verse 22, you know, I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. See, there's no temple in the New Jerusalem. You don't need it. Why? Yeah, God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit right there. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did light the city, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You see, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that's the glory of God. That's light. It'll never be nighttime. It'll never get dark. I can't wait. We don't need to sleep there. It's like we really don't need to sleep here, do we? Well, some. No temple there. God Almighty there. You see, where sin existed, we learn, God could only be approached by the rituals of the temple, the sacrifices, the things, how you had to get into the presence of God. And of course, only the high priest could come to the very presence of God. You couldn't do that. But you know, in the New Jerusalem, there is no sin. So there's no need for God Himself is there. Jesus Christ Himself, God the Holy Spirit. We won't need the power company anymore. Wow. You guys can take time off that work for them. You won't need the power company to light up your life. Jesus Christ the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit will light life. Isn't that fun? I think so. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The nations of them that are saved. Now, the nations of them that are saved, I think you're talking about, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. I think what you're seeing here is they're not going to dwell in the city. They're going to dwell on the new earth. That's interesting. The Old Testament saints will not dwell in this city. They will dwell in the new earth. in eternity. You know who will dwell in the city? The bride of Jesus Christ. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they'll be living on the new earth. So they will what? They will walk in the light of that city. It'll be a pretty view from where they're at here on the earth. That's kind of an interesting concept. Do you see how important you are? And it sounds like, from this verse, kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of traffic back and forth from the city, the new city, from the earth, back and forth, it looks like. People are going to come up to worship in the new city from the earth. You won't have to, you'll live there if you're a Christian. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. In other words, as long as it's day, the gates will never shut, and there will be no night. See, God isn't like the sun. He's not going to travel around anything, or nothing's going to travel around him. He's going to be there, his presence forever and ever. Now listen to this. Here's some interesting concepts. Gates shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Traffic coming back and forth from the earth. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Something interesting. God's original purpose, we talked about it, remember? His purpose is that he might have fellowship with us, that we might have fellowship with him. And it will finally be constant fellowship, right relationship with the Lord all the time. The church, as we read these, the church will really be on display throughout eternity, won't it? For those living on the new earth, they'll be looking where? At that holy city. The church will be on display throughout eternity. You, yourself, as a Christian, you'll be on display forever. Why? What's so special about me and you? Nothing. We are sinners saved by the grace of God. The church is going to be on display that others can see for all eternity. Someone says, how did you get into the church? Here's a statement from an old saint. His answer was, I got into the heart of Christ through a spear wound. He was wounded for me. He was pierced for my transgressions. Isn't that cool? We are sinners saved by grace. Of course, the Lamb's Book of Life contains the names of the redeemed of all ages. Notice, even though the city is open to the redeemed, only the church is there. Throughout all eternity, that's where you will live. And you will be seen from the new earth by all who inhabit, all those who spend eternity with the Lord, all those Old Testament saints, all those tribulation saints, all those who walk with the Lord and trust in the Lord through the 1,000-year millennial reign, all those from all time, they will enter in and live on the new earth. And they will see you and the glory of God shining through you forever and ever. What an awesome privilege to be a Christian. And what do you have to do to get a position like that? Just bow down and say yes to Jesus Christ. It is time that we all really committed our hearts to shining. Really gave ourselves up to the Lord. To be used that others can see Jesus. What an honor. Because angels could be doing this. Instead, he wants you to do it. Don't let these little bitty stresses get you. This light affliction is but for a moment. Don't let it get to you. Don't let it take you from your course. Don't let it take you out of your lane while you're running your race. Because remember, in a real race, you step out of your lane, you're disqualified. Don't let it do these things to you. That's what the enemy is trying to do. That's why it seems to be so hard for you right now. That's why the marriages, that's why the jobs, that's why the layoffs, that's why the struggles, that's why the health problems, that's why this is all is. This is designed to knock you out of your lane. Don't let it happen to you. Remember the words to the song. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him. And all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. How did I get into the heart of Christ? Through a spear wound. He suffered for me and for you. This is real. I can't picture it, although I can draw it out and look at dimensions and look at heights and widths and diameters and stuff. But do you know this is real? This is where you will spend eternity, right there in the presence of God forever and ever. No tears, no sorrow, no more pain, no more death, no more any of the things. And remember, God said in Isaiah, the former things will be remembered no more. The things that are holding us back, that are hurting us now, the things that we can't seem to shake off, the things that from our past that seemed to hold us down, gone. Trust the Lord. Give your heart to Him. Take some time as we worship now just to turn yourself back over. Don't give up. It's His strength. He loves you.